So I want to get started with our teaching this morning. We're in week number two of our series on the Beatitudes. Now, Pastor Ike kicked this series off last week, providing some great context of what the Beatitudes really are. And if you haven't heard that, go back to the podcast and listen to that. But the Beatitudes, you can think of, really are a preamble to the greatest sermon ever preached. It was Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. This is sort of the beginning of that. Chapter 5, 6, and 7 in the book of Matthew, it gives us this beautiful sermon that Jesus, that he taught on this hillside. And he begins that teaching, though, with these nine of what I would say are really the most countercultural counterintuitive statements that you might ever see. But these are challenging, and they're beautiful statements that we're studying in this series. And they're character traits that Jesus is really talking about here, and where, you know, he said, if we have those character traits and we can embody those values, there will be a special blessing that comes along with that. And, you know, as I was studying for this, I was thinking about, like, developing a Jesus-like or a Christ-like or a godly character is not always easy, right? Especially in the culture that we live in the times that we live in. But isn't it the whole goal of ours, if we're following Jesus, is it not that we want to be more like him and we want to operate in our day-to-day life with others that we encounter and other people that we come across? And shouldn't that be one of our number one goals in our daily lives, as people who are doing our best to live our lives like Jesus did, to embody the things that are important to him, to embody the ways in which he lived his life? See, it's not just about going to church. It's not just about reading the Bible and maybe serving in the kids' class. But it's really about getting out into the world and living the life that Jesus lived, right? So people cannot just hear about Jesus or read about Jesus or think about Jesus, but they can see him through us and how we interact. And that's what the Beatitudes, friends, give us: a template that we can follow. It gives us some things that we can try to become and we can try to do, so that when we become like him, as we grow into these character traits and these grow into these values and these virtues, we show people who he really is. Amen? See, that's what these Beatitudes are for us. When we embody these things, people around us will see Jesus through us. And I was thinking about what a timely place in our current moment for this type of teaching, going into what did Jesus say was most important? Because in case you hadn't noticed, our nation, our community, our world, in many ways, is reeling from a lot of things that have taken place over the last 2 years, right? We were talking about the pandemic and the election and more elections coming and just all the politics and tensions and all these things that we feel in our society today. And as I was thinking and praying about all this and studying for this message, honestly, I'm just thinking about, you know, everybody seems like they're scrambling to try to fix society, right? Everybody's got a solution for how we can fix these things. And there's a lot of solutions out there, but if we follow Jesus and we believe in Jesus, then we also believe that only God will be able to fix what's going on, right? That only God will be able to change hearts. Amen? And see, what I really think what we need is some sort of revival to take place. I honestly think that that's what we need in our community and in our world right now. And revival begins in the house of God. Amen? It starts with us. And see, this, friends, this study of the Beatitudes, this can be what revs the engine of revival. Because if we can embody these things, then there's a lot of things that can happen. And see, God's plan is that he works in a group of people called his church, right? I'm not just talking about Hope Denver Church. I'm talking about the church with a capital C. And he works in and through all of us to accomplish his goals. And just like Jesus didn't, he came and he didn't just come to teach principles and hear about things that we should do, but he embodied them. He embodied what he was teaching. And see, people of that time, that when he was alive, they were drawn to his personality as much as they were to his principles. They saw how he behaved and how he interacted and what he did. And that's what drew us to him, right? That's what draws us to him even now, is these things. And the hope that God has for all of us is that his church is changed into the likeness of Jesus. Amen? That his church would be changed into that likeness. So that's why we're teaching this series on these Beatitudes. We're hoping that as we lean into these principles, my hope is that we would begin to embody these things and that we would begin to express these things, which include his love and kindness to everyone around us, right? Everyone around us. Amen? So today, the beatitude that we want to look at is this beatitude of blessed are those who mourn. You can find this in Matthew chapter 5 and verse number 4. Blessed are those who mourn. Now, this might be one of the most strange that we read about in the Beatitudes. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Now, are you saying, like, if I'm happy, then I'm sad, right? Or are you saying if I'm sad, then I'm happy? Like, what is this really saying? It seems like this is really backwards. Like, how in the world, if I'm sad, can I be happy? What is that? Well, let me just say to you that what I believe this beatitude is really all about, and this is that God shows up in unique ways to people who are going through bad days. God shows up in unique ways to people who are going through bad days. And there's a part of that we can lean into this. There's a part of God that you may or may not have experienced yet that's really in there, and it's really life-changing. And, you know, I don't know that really anybody has an explanation for what happens when you go through mourning and the experience that you have with God in that space, right? It's very different. It's very unique. It's very life-changing when you go through something like that. How God moves in the middle of a terrible situation. See, some people, you know, you may not get there. You may not have those kinds of experiences. And let me just say, like, if that doesn't happen for you, then you shouldn't question whether you're going to heaven or whether you believe in Jesus or anything like that. But if you've never leaned into the comfort of God in the middle of a bad day, then it just changes the way in which you interact with the Lord, right? And the experience that you have with him. And so you might kind of rewrite this, though, to say something like this, the way that this idea of blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. You could say it this way: there is happiness even in difficult days, because we will experience the provision, the purpose, and the presence of God in spite of it. Amen? There is happiness even in difficult days, because we will experience the provision, the purpose, and the presence of God. And I really believe that for somebody in this room or somebody under the sound of my voice, if you'll just make a little room in your heart today, because especially if you're going through something very difficult, you're going to be surprised by the joy that God fills that space with. Amen? You're going to be surprised by the peace of God, and I want you to experience it today. So you can actually have comfort in the middle of your mourning. You can have comfort in the middle of your mourning. Now, the problem is that these Beatitudes are so countercultural, right? Like, blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. It goes against human nature. It goes against, you know, Christian culture, not just secular culture, but Christian culture too, to think about this, right? Even in churches, we can end up with bad theology and wrong views about God, and it can disrupt our relationship with him. See, a lot of times we think that if I have faith and if I just believe in God and if I do all the right things, that everything should go fine for me, right? And why isn't it going fine for me if I'm doing all those things? And in fact, it can disrupt your relationship with God. See, if you think that faith promises you no pain, then you will be sorely disappointed. You'll be sorely disappointed in God. And so I want to give you three things that, as just kind of an abiding principle around this topic. And I want to give you three ways that you can sort of think about how should I be thinking about these difficult times and these challenging things that I may be going through. And the first is, we think that bad things shouldn't happen to good people, right? Have you heard this? Why do bad things happen to good people? I've heard this a lot. In my family growing up, you know, this was almost like an axiom in our house, right? Like, why do bad things happen to good people? I can't even count how many people who have said this. And so when you're going through a challenging time and you're thinking like, God, haven't you obligated yourself for this type of stuff to never happen? Shouldn't it be something that never happens, that bad things happen to good people? Well, haven't you told us that you are good and these things shouldn't happen? And friends, it's a flawed theology to think that way. See, God does intervene on earth a lot. And, you know, I can just stop here and say that we're probably experiencing the best version of what we have on this earth of anybody that's on this earth, right? There's so much that's going on around the world that is so much worse than a lot of the things that we experience in our day-to-day. And a lot of the things that we think are really challenging, we would have a really hard time if we were in somebody else's shoes, right? We're blessed. We really are. We're really, really blessed, especially if we live where we live in the United States of America, in this place, in Denver, Colorado, that we're very, very blessed relative to other people, right? But even we can get, especially I think in America, and probably even so, much more so even in Christian subculture, we can get a bit spoiled, right? We can start to feel like, I've been to church. I tithe, I give to the church. I serve, I pray, I read my Bible. You owe it to me, God, right? You owe this to me. This is not supposed to happen, this bad thing that's happening to me. And the truth is, though, friends, that God moves. And when we understand in Scripture that God moves powerfully on earth, we can start to grasp the idea that some of the ways that which he moves and some of the ways in which the things that he does are not always the way in which we think they should go. It's not always the way in which we think they should add up. And if you look in Hebrews 11, there's a whole chapter in Hebrews 11 that celebrates people who believed God and great things would happen. Right? There's this whole chapter of all these amazing people who believed in God and the great things that he would do. The Red Sea's opened and people that were dead were raised to life because of the faith that these people had in Hebrews 11. And great things would happen. But oftentimes we fail to read the rest of that very same chapter that says what was happening to others who also had faith. Read in 11:35, it says, women received back their dead, raised to life again. There were others who were tortured, refusing to be released so that they might gain an even better resurrection. Some faced jeers and floggings and even chains and imprisonment. They were put to death by stoning. They were sawed in two. They were killed by the sword. What? This is crazy. These people had faith, right? They went about in sheepskins and goatskins, destitute, persecuted, and mistreated. The world was not worthy of them. They wandered in deserts and mountains, living in caves and in holes in the ground. And this is the key part, right? These were all commended for their faith, yet none of them received what had been promised, since God had planned something, what does it say? Better. God had planned something better for us, so that only together with us would they be made perfect. See, it didn't work out this way for these folks that the writer of Hebrews is writing about here. They were persecuted, they were tortured, they were mistreated, and the world was not worthy of them. They were all still committed to their faith, though, too. These were people of faith, yet none of them received what they had been promised. So I'm telling you all of this that, see, what they thought was promised to them on planet Earth was something that God had, it says, since God had planned something better, right? They thought these promises may come to them now, but God had something better. And honestly, a lot of times we don't see God that way, that, you know what, perhaps God has something better for me, even though I'm not seeing it right now. Even though I'm not seeing it right now. And see, there's, I think, the people who believe in Jesus, who understand this idea that we're talking about, and even Lauren was talking about it today, about the hopeful future, those things that we sang about. If you can truly grasp that, and it gets down in your spirit and in your soul, it's those people who understand this that There's just a maturity about them, right? You all know people like this. There's a maturity about them. There's a strength about them and a trust about them that even in the midst of their worst situation, it doesn't affect them like it does everybody else, right? See, they often say things like, I want you to have my joy, right? I want you to experience my joy, but I know what you're going through, but I want you to know that there's a joy in spite of it. And I wish that you had the peace that I have, because right now I know that my God is a faithful God, right? This is just the way that these people kind of operate, even in spite of the challenges that they're going through. And see, here's the second thing that I think we sometimes misconstrue. It's that we think that pain always means something is wrong, right? If I'm going through a hard time, we always think this must be really bad. Something must be wrong. I must be doing something wrong. Something is going bad. And so we're going through something bad and we automatically think, what did I do? Are you mad at me, God? What are you trying to say to me? What did I do wrong here? Like, what's going on here when the Bible comes along and says something like this? And it's very countercultural, this verse that I'm going to read to you. It's James 1, 2 through 4. It says, consider pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so that you could be mature and complete, not lacking anything. You know, it's we read this verse a lot in church, but it's rare to meet somebody who actually lives this, right? Consider it pure joy when you face trials of many kinds. I mean, find me somebody who's like, you know what? I'm going through a trial. Yeah, this is great. I'm having a rough time. You know, nobody does that, right? nobody does that. Nobody acts like this. And I'm not sure that the Bible is actually wanting you to act like that either, the way that this is written. See, but mature believers in Jesus, people who follow Jesus, who are in the middle of their mourning, are comforted because they know that God is up to something. And that God didn't create the bad day, but he will use it for something good, right? And they have this ability to know that in the middle of this testing, that God is developing something in me. God is doing something in me. And whether you like it or not, friends, God will develop you if you decide to follow him. If you decide to follow Jesus, he's going to be bringing you along and he's going to be developing you and your character. See, he's more interested, I'll say it this way, he's more interested in your character than he is in your comfort. God is more interested in your character than he is in your comfort. And if we can't get used to that, friends, then following Jesus is going to be really hard. Following Jesus will be really a challenge if we're not able to get this idea. And see, by the way, before you judge God for this, if you have kids, you're the same way, right? If you don't, you know, like I always think about when I go to wake up my son Judah in the morning, he's kind of hard to get out of bed in the morning. It's really tough. And, so I don't wake up in the morning and go look in his room and say, Judah, would you like to get up today? Would you like to get up today, Judah? I think it would be good for you if you want to go to school. Would you like to do that? It's okay if you don't. I don't say that, right? I say, no, get your butt out of bed. Come on, you got to get going. It's time for school. Let's go. And the reason we do that is because we know that school is good for him, right? We know that school is good for him. So we act the same way, right? We act the same way. We judge God like, you're not making me happy and letting me choose the path that I want to go on. And he's looking like, you know, that's not my plan, right? I'm trying to develop something in you, and I'm trying to create some perseverance in you that will have its finished work so that you are complete and mature and not lacking anything. And sometimes I've got to do some things that maybe you don't want. Amen? See, 1 Peter 1, 6 through 7 says it this way. It says, when you endure these trials of many kinds, these trials will show that your faith is genuine. It says it's being tested as fire tests and purifies gold. Though your faith is more precious than gold. Watch what it says next. When your faith remains strong in the middle of that day, it brings you much praise, right? This is a tough translation. It sort of literally means like it brings fulfillment on the inside, right? That's kind of what it means when it says it brings you praise. It brings you glory and honor on the day when Christ is revealed. See, that means when you're with lost people, it's sort of like when you can do this, it's sort of a testimony to the world where you're going, right? That's kind of what this is talking about. See, when someone is going through hard times, it's hard to know what to say, right? It's hard to know what to do. And I often, you know, when people are going through hard times around me, you know, as a pastor, there's a lot of times where there's pressure on me to know what to say and know what to do and do the right things. And I often don't know what to say. I don't know what to do at times. Maybe you've been in these situations too. And so what I'll often say is, I don't know what to say. I don't know how to make it better for you, but I know that Jesus knows. I know that he knows. And when I can tell you, when we get to meet him and we can ask, Lord, why did you put me through that? Why did I have to go through that? You're going to be okay with what he tells you. You're going to be okay with what he tells you. And see, it's in these moments that you're going to experience God in a way that you've never experienced him before. See, Psalm 34:18, let's put that up. It says that the Lord is close to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit. The Lord is close to the brokenhearted. He's close. You get to experience him in a way that if you've experienced loss or you're experiencing mourning or you're experiencing brokenheartedness, he's closer to you than any other experience that we could have. He's there to comfort you. And see, as I was studying for this, you know, we talk a lot about at Hope Denver, this idea that God still speaks. And as I was preparing this, you know, and I've sensed it this morning as we were worshiping and as Lauren was speaking this morning, and I still feel it now, that there's somebody under the sound of my voice, there's somebody that's experiencing this service, that that you're going through a hard time. And it sounds funny to say, but like as I was praying through this moment, I just felt like God, I heard him say something that I know is for at least one person in this room. And if it's just for that one person, then it's worth it for us to spend the time here. And you know what? In fact, I'm not even going to read it. I just want to put it on the screen, and I want to let God speak to you. So let's do that. Right? To which, you know, in my flesh, I want to say, how, right? Maybe what you're thinking. How? So if that's speaking to you and the Lord is speaking to you in this moment, you're going through something, you're in it, what do you do? Well, look with me at 2 Corinthians 1, 3 through 5. It says, praise be to the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves receive from God. For just as we share abundantly in the sufferings of Christ, so also our comfort abounds through Christ. Paul is telling us exactly how we started this message, right? That he will comfort you. Jesus will comfort you so that we can comfort others, right? That's what this is saying. That's how we started this message. This is God's hope. Not that we live perfect lives and look at all the heathens and sinners around us and say, ha, we live perfect lives, nah, right? No, that's not what this is about. See, when we believe in Jesus, we go through the same things that everyone else is going through. We go through the same things that everyone else is going through, but it impacts us in a completely different way because we have Jesus in our life. we have the comfort of God on our side. And now we can comfort others with the same comfort that we received. Right? For just as we share abundantly in Christ's sufferings, and can I say that's just a matter of fact, right? I hope we've established that. That if you follow Jesus, you're going to have hard days. You will go through the same sufferings, similar things to that he's suffered. But we can also have the abundance of God's comfort that abounds through Jesus. Amen? And then he continues on and this is Paul writing to the Corinthian church. He starts to get personal in 2 Corinthians 1:8 through 11. He says, "We do not want you to be uninformed, brothers and sisters, about the troubles we experienced in the province of Asia. We were under great pressure, far beyond our ability to endure, so that we despised of life itself." He's saying, "I was under such great pressure, far beyond my ability to endure, that I wanted to die." Is basically what he's saying here. Paul went through it, friends. Paul went through it. And a lot of scholars even believe that this is a point where Paul was actually probably somewhat suicidal, right? There's a lot of bad things going on for him. Like I can't take it anymore. But then he goes on and he says something that I think we can take with us. He says, "Indeed, we felt that we had received the sentence of death, but this happened, that we might not rely on ourselves, but on God, who raises the dead. He has delivered us from such a deadly peril, and he will deliver us again. On him we have set our hope that he will continue to deliver us, as you help us by your prayers. Then many will give thanks on our behalf, for the gracious favor granted us to the prayers of many." See, I want you to notice this, right? What does he say here? Well, number one, I think one of the things that we can do is refocus from what is happening to me and focus on what is happening in me, right? When we're going through these bad days, refocus from what is happening to me to what is happening in me. You're going to have to take a breath and say, if something is happening to me, God wants to do something in me. He wants to do something in me. If something is happening to me, it's because God wants to do something in me. Paul says, this happened that we might not rely on ourselves, but on God who raises the dead. See, Paul is realizing that this has happened to him for a reason. For a purpose. It's so that he can rely on God in an even deeper way. So you can ask yourself the question when you're going through these hard times, what is God trying to teach me? What is God trying to teach me? See, sometimes we want to say, God, take this thing away from me. Take this thing away from me. I don't want this thing anymore. I don't want to be mourning anymore. But then God says, no, I don't want to take it away. Let's grow. Let's learn together. Let's get better. And then I'll show you how I can raise the dead. See, friends, we can either say that my pain is a jail that imprisons me, or it's a school that will shape me. It's a jail that imprisons me, or it's a school that will shape me. And we get to choose number two. So I refocus, but now I need to remember that he always comes through, right? I refocus, and now I need to remember that God always comes through. He always does. This is what Paul says. He has delivered us from such a deadly peril, and he will deliver us again. On him we have set our hope that he will continue to deliver us. He has. He will. He will continue. Right? He has. He will. He will continue. You can just remember that, friends, when you're going through a bad time. Just remember those things. He has. He will. He will continue. The best predictor of God's present help is his past faithfulness. We can remember these things that he's pulled us through. So I refocus, I remember, and I need to remember that he's gotten me through before. And see, friends, this is one of the biggest things that we can do, because, you know, oftentimes we forget that no matter what we're going through, that God has given us the last chapter, right? God has given us the last chapter. I don't know how many of you like binge watching shows on Netflix, right? But I often find it so funny that we binge watch shows, right? Because oftentimes these shows that we watch in such succession and we just keep, I've got to watch another one. I got to see what happens to him. I got to see what happens to the main character. Is he going to die, or what's going to happen to that love story? Or, you know, I've got to see the next thing. And it's always kind of like, well, there's more episodes, right? So we know that there's going to be more story. There's going to be more that continues on. And we often just, we want to get to the last episode, right? Well, God has given us the last episode, friends. Look at Revelation 21, 3 through 4. This is the last episode. You can skip to the end. It says, I heard a loud voice from the throne of God saying, now is the dwelling of God with men, and he will live with them, and they will be his people, and God himself will be with them, and he will be their God, and he will wipe every tear from their eyes, and there will be no more mourning, no more death. That's our topic today, right? No more mourning, no crying, no pain. You're going to get me through. We have the last chapter. We have the last episode. You're going to get me through. And here's the last one, friends. It's rely on relationships. When you're going through a hard time, rely on relationships. David, you can come up now. 2 Corinthians 1 through 11, he said, he will continue to deliver us as you help us by your prayers. He will continue to deliver us as you help us by your prayers. Who's he talking to? He's talking to that church in Corinth. He's talking to that church that was praying for him. Paul was saying, I never would have made it without you, Corinthians. Thank you for praying for me. And I look around the room and I see so many people that have prayed for me in hard times that I've been in. And I look around the room and I see so many people that are part of this little family that we have started here at Hope Denver. But I want to ask you, do you have this that Paul is talking about? Where he's saying, I would never have made it without you. See, what we can do, friends, is we need people to rely on. See, that's why we come to church. It's so that there's people in our life that can pray for you, can be there for you when these things come up. It's not because you need something else to do, right? But it's because you need a friend. You need somebody who can come around you when you have hard times. See, Paul had this whole church praying for him. Like that, you need people in your life who are praying for you on your bad day. And honestly, you need to be that person for other people too. That's why we're here. We pray for each other and check in on each other because we want to help people through their bad day. We want to help people through their difficult times. So we refocus, we remember, we rely. Don't try to go through it alone, friends. Rely on the body of Christ to help you through. So let's bow our heads now and let's just pray as we prepare to head outside and have some fun with the kids. Let's just close your eyes right here and just be very still. The presence of God is in this place. Lord, I pray that you would help us to remember, that you would help us to refocus, and that you would help us to rely on others as we mourn. Because God, as we know through this study here, that through our mourning, through our brokenheartedness, through all the things that are coming against us. We've seen the last chapter, God. We know that you, beyond a shadow of a doubt, are for us. And so, Lord, we want to lean into the ways you want to teach us. We want to lean into the ways you want to stretch us. We want to lean into those things that are hard because we want to experience your presence, your closeness, your comfort in a way that we never have before. Lord, I don't pray for harm or hardship to come against anyone here. But Lord, I pray that in those times that you would be closer than a brother, that you would be a surrounding blanket of comfort for those who are mourning. And Lord, as they mourn, help them to recognize the ways in which that you are comforting them, the ways in which you're teaching them, the ways in which you're helping them to grow and to continue to become more and more like you. That's what all we want, Lord, to become more like you so we can show others who you are. It's in your name we pray all these things.